Here we go. Okay, so again, we're on Siman Kufnun Aleph. We're talking about the halachas of a shul. I think we started this, but we didn't get too far last time. Page 62. We're talking about the halachas of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Kedusha, which is translated as Kedusha, of this week's parsha, Akram Moskidoshim, of a shul. Batek Nisias Batin Midrash, we read the Machaber quickly last time, a shul, or a base medrash. Enogim Baham Kalasrosh, no frivolity in a shul. As we saw last time, the Chofetz Chaim says, because they are a Migdash Me'at, they are a small base on Migdash, and it's very severe if someone doesn't treat a shul in its proper way. As we saw last time, the smock brings down that if this is prevalent in a shul, so it's not, doesn't bode well for the shul. Okay. And therefore, no kalos rosh kigon, skulk, like joking around, he stole his frivolity. Next page, sicha b'tela, speaking needless talk that is not becoming a shul, and you can imagine. And it's there, in Sivkot in Mishnah Berurah base, you can imagine, right? I'm sure you know this is coming. The Chofetz Chaim talks about Lashon Hara Rechilos in a shul, how terrible that is. There's a lengthy Mishnah Berurah about that. Also that it brings people to get into fights, literally hitting each other. I don't know if I want to say this story, but that was prevalent, evidently. I have it on good authority. No, it broke out in the old days, which went so. And terrible things. So you're not allowed to do those, obviously, in a shul. Then you're not allowed to eat or drink in a shul. Okay, we'll talk about that a little later. You're not supposed to get dressed in a shul. We'll decorate with something. But you know, like sometimes it upsets me. People, not so much here. Like all these things broke up. Lay on her, seriously, or not so. But once in a while, you know, you see somebody walk in and they're putting their tie on. Or, you know, like, you know, you should do that outside. That's why we have a, you know, like, you know, a vestibule. That's a, or a social hall. Anyway, it's why I laid out the way that. Oh, a vest. Okay, I'm sorry. That went right over my head. I'm very sorry. Okay. Right over my head. Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Schwartz.
So, like a chasana or like a bris milah, they have catered inside the shul. You don't have a separate social hall.
So there's a very good question. I didn't want to bring that up yet, but yeah, there's a long there's long beer halacha which discusses this. We're going to get into this a little later also. Well, let's hold off on it because we're going to see the Machaber in a little. Yeah. You're not allowed to take refuge in a shul. But in other words, like again, like I mentioned last time, shul might have good air conditioning, so it's hot outside like it was a couple days ago in April, so you come in the shul, and, you know, it's nice and cool. Or if it's rainy and you're getting rain upon, you'll run into shul and take refuge there. Now again, we're talking about in the shul proper, right? We'll talk, you know. But so you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Okay, in the Mishnah Berurah, well, let's hold off on that too. Now, this gets back to Mr. Schwartz's issue. V'talmidei chachamim v'talmideim, and talmidei chachamim and their students. Mutarim la'elchol v'lishtos b'hem, they're allowed to eat and drink midochak, out of pressure. In other words, because what are we going to do? We're going to say, okay, there's a guy who's learning, and they're learning, and they're learning, and they're learning. You say, they can't drink in a shul, in a base medrash, in yeshiva, right, in yeshiva. So what he's going to have to do, he's going to have to get up and go outside, and then, you know, we all know what happens during coffee breaks, right? A guy's learning, and you break it. We all know the importance of uninterrupted learning, how important it is. Besides the idea I was saying before, that, you know, once you break up, it's like, you know, it happens to the best people. So, therefore, we allow that. Mishnah Berurah also says to sleep, not during a drasha. Also, sleeping would be the same thing. That they are allowed to, you see, oftentimes in yeshivas, somebody putting their head down. Ah, how can you do this base medrash? You know, like, answer is, you know, like, what's the other alternative? The other alternative is, tell them to go and go to the dorm, and you know, by the time he gets there. So it's, instead of being a short nap, it turns out to be a whole Megillah. Takes off from his learning. Then we're going to get to this later, but the Mishnah Berurah says there's a cap on this. And that is, even if you're a Talmid Chacham, you can't use a shul as a kapandria. We're going to get into this, my favorite words. There's limits to what a Talmid Chacham could do. So in other words, like somebody's a Talmid Chacham, so they have to go somewhere. So take a shortcut, that's a kapandria, through a shul. So I'll say, well, you know, we have leniencies and leeway and allowances for a Talmid Chacham. So again, I'll say, you know, I got to get to wherever I have to go. So I'll take a shortcut through the shul, so that you're not allowed to do. Even a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to do that. We'll get to that later, that you can't, again, that's another thing. You can't use the shul as a shortcut. Right? That's another issue. Rama says, the Rama says that some people say, for a Talmid Chacham, even if there's not a pressing need, they could still... use the shul to eat, sleep, and drink. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because it's their home. The base measure is their home. You know, like, you know, when you're in yeshiva full time, you know, so out of the day, you spend, I don't know, 12 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours, and the rest of the, maybe sometimes it's like, you know, that's the way it is. And the Mishnah Berurah also says that it would not only apply to eating and drinking, but all their, anything they need to do, they could do, you know, well, there's limits to that too. They can also do in the base matter. It's their home. That's where they are. And the Machar picks up, the aim machashvin to the page, Baha Machash Bonos, you're not allowed to do calculations in a shul. Elim Kane, Haim Shal Mitzvahs, unless it's a mitzvah calculation. Kigon, for example. Kubal Shal Tzedakah, right? We're counting the pushka, or, you know, like, if you say you can't do cheshbon, so then I would have to keep the tzedakah money outside, or else have the pushka, but keep the tzedakah money outside. And then, you know, when people come around, I can't do that inside of a shul, right? I can't have to. So the answer is no, that you could do. Pinyan Shuim, or to save captives. So what they used to do, again, Baruch Hashem, we have no, we don't realize, B'liyah and Hara, what good times we live in. But unfortunately, it was very common they would take people captive, and they would have meetings, maybe not the whole community, but the Tuvei, or the leader, the board, the leaders of the community would get together, and they would say, you know, how much could we ransom this person? Can we ransom him? And they have meetings about this. So where are you going to have the meeting? In somebody's house? You know, like, have it in shul. Right? Okay, but we're going to figure out how much money we're going to spend and how much we're going to get from each person. So that should be in congruence with the shul, the Kedusha shul. So the answer is it's not. You're allowed to do that. The Ain, now this is another interesting, they must speed in Baham. You can't do a eulogy in a shul. A lot of people don't know that. Ela imkain, unless here's the but. Ye'as bedlecha migdole ha'ir, unless it's for one of the leaders of the community. Shekobani ha'ir miskamsin uvon lahaspido, that everybody, a large group of people are coming to the person's funeral, and therefore, it's constant bond with the hospital. The imsar chliuch knows b'hem. Okay, so we need the space. So we need the space. So then we could do it. Now the Mishnah Berurah also says the same thing would apply that if an important person's relative died. So it might be the person who died themselves is not a big person, but a big person's relative died, so a lot of people are going to come to the funeral because of the survivor. So then you can also do this. Okay, and certainly if the person who passed away themselves is a Talmid Chacham. Now, the Mishnah Berurah also brings down a very interesting Ari, and any of you who were in the Ari Shul in Svat, you know this, that the Ari was careful not to speak in a shul, just tefillah. Just, he would just daven. And even divrei musar he wouldn't say, because he was scared that if you say like a drasha or something like that, So that might lead to something else. So really, it's okay to say Dvar Torah or Drush or whatever, but it was scared that it would go a little further. Okay, let's just, I'm not going to get through this whole Machaber tonight. Okay, you know what, we'll stop here for tonight, and again, we're still in the middle of Aleph, but Meretz Hashem, B'li Nether, we'll take this a little further. B'li Nether tomorrow evening, hopefully.